Hey, you're listening to Migration Patterns, a podcast that explores the places we come from, where we live, and what takes us there. I'm your host, Meredith Rowland. In this episode, I chat with Amy Dillon, an Australian living in Edmonton. She's a creative person, a writer who's currently learning photography. Professionally, she works in the Edmonton food scene, which is booming with creative independent restaurants and cafes. We chat about her hometown of Melbourne, her transition to Canada, changes in the Edmonton food scene, and the nature of creative projects. I guess to give listeners background, you moved to Canada 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And, how did you make the decision to come here?
I don't really think of it as a decision, actually. So, I met my fiancé when we were traveling, and we kind of just very briefly crossed paths in California, became friends, and then kind of went off, like, back to our own lives and kind of maintained sporadic contact, which became, over time, less and less sporadic, I guess. And then we met up, and I think we realized that we really liked each other a lot. And then we met up, and then we, I guess, confirmed that. And then obviously he's from Canada, I'm from Australia, whole different sides of the world. So we knew that we wanted to be together. And then it was like, what do we do about this? And I guess the decision more or less was made for me, not in that, like, someone else made the decision, but there was just not really any choice.
Yeah.
So we knew we really wanted to be together, and we had met up for a short time in Southeast Asia, and then he came to meet my family because I said, well, I can't move to Canada. He was really keen on the idea, but I wasn't sure because I had just finished university, and I spent all my money traveling on the trip that I met him on and then to go and meet him in Thailand. So I had no money. My car had just broken down, so I had no car. I was living at my parents' house. I really had nothing to come into this with. Actually, considering the state I was in, it's actually pretty surprising that he was like, oh, yeah, she's a keeper. This one makes smart life choices. Arts degree, just whatever. So, a classic Melburnian, you might call me.
Right?
Yeah.
So, tell me about your home.
So, so I grew up not in Melbourne, not right in the city. I grew up an hour away, southeast of Melbourne, in an area called the Mornington Peninsula. And it's it's a shire, I guess. We call it it's a shire.
Mm-hmm.
Our, like, local government is called the Shire Council.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Hobbit.
I know, isn't it? Yeah. I guess it's a UK thing. That's probably where it comes from.
Yeah,
I
imagine. Okay.
It's a collection of towns. I don't know what the population of the whole Mornington Peninsula is, but the town that I came from was about 2,500 people. Big tourist town in the summer because we're on the coast. We're kind of like a combination of, like, country and coast.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, really, really nice place to grow up. Very beautiful. And I never really appreciated it as much as I should have when I lived there.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I moved away from there was when I moved to Canada. So,
oh,
I was saving up all my big moves.
Yeah,
for, like, one big move, I guess.
Halfway.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, like, we would always visit Melbourne. My parents were big football fans, so lots of weekends we would go up there.
So, when you think of home, what do you think of?
Food and the beach.
Oh,
yeah. So, Melbourne's very a big food city.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of restaurants, lots of coffee. Gatherings always centered around food, like so many people's do. But food is very, very important in my family. Like, good homemade food is very important. So, my grandmother was a really good cook. My grandfather was a baker. My mom and her sisters are good cooks. My uncle, I don't know if he's such a... I think he's a good cook, I guess. Very foodie family, kind of.
And yeah.
Then I grew up swimming. So that's what I think of. Food. And, like, yeah. Summertime, I guess. And coffee.
Yeah. Okay, so let's lead into that. So was coffee culture sort of your first career then?
Yeah, so everyone, it's very, very common that no one I knew growing up had an office job, like a part-time office job. Like nobody I knew did, nobody I knew worked on a golf course part-time. Nobody I knew, and this is, I guess, most of my girlfriends, like guys, obviously, you know, grew up to be tradies and became carpenters or plumbers. But growing up when you're in high school and you get your first part-time job, normally you're working in a cafe. Everyone kind of does that. And then when I went, so I did that early, like when I was younger in high school, and then in university, it was just a natural progression, I guess. So I've always worked in cafes. I've never really, I have had other jobs, but.
Was there a shift where it sort of became more of a passion? Or is it even now?
Or? I don't know. It just kind of, it's hard to tell whether it's just that, if it's what I know now. It wasn't ever really a passion when I was younger. I didn't make the choice to go into the service industry because it's something I really wanted to do. It's just what you did. And it's also what was available in my town. Like, we had a bunch of little cafes and restaurants and stuff. So it's just, you know, when you're 15 and you want to earn a little bit of money, you might.
Tourist season.
Yeah, tourist season's super busy, so you'd always have shifts in summer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, all my friends growing up in Balnarring did that. I guess I got, like, more interested in it when I started becoming, like, trained as a barista because coffee's a little bit more interesting the way it behaves, and it's kind of like chemistry. So it is interesting in that respect. I thought when I moved here, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a professional rider. This is a great time to start my life as a professional because I just finished school, and then that didn't happen. I did.
So, yeah, was that challenging? Like, what was the most challenging part for you when you moved here?
It was a really big culture shock, surprisingly, and I think people are surprised when I say that, but because when I say I come from Australia, I think some people know it because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I spent 7 months in Melbourne, or I lived in Brisbane, or have been there, right? But a lot of people haven't been there, and they're like, well, it's just like here, right? Your country desert. And that's true, but I never have been there. I have never been to the interior of Australia. I've never seen the desert. I've seen country for sure, and where I'm from is definitely a rural area, but it's so close to Melbourne that it stays kind of like, it's quite a metropolitan area, you know. So when I didn't move straight to Edmonton, I moved to rural Alberta, and I got a huge, like, yeah, it was a big culture shock because I guess in any small town, like anywhere in the world, the people, if you know, if you're new, it's hard to sort of like break through that, you know, if they don't know you. And I didn't really expect, I expected there to be more to do, so there wasn't a lot for me to while my days away doing. I thought to myself, like, I'm not gonna have a job, and Graham's gonna go to work, but because he works the next province over, so he wasn't home, and I thought, like, oh, I could just wander down the street and read the paper at a cafe. Like, I'm happy doing that, that's fine.
Yeah.
There was no cafe to read the paper. There was no paper. Like, I couldn't even get a newspaper.
Yeah.
I could have read, I guess I could have gone to the library. I never stepped foot in that library.
Oh.
I don't know why I didn't do that, but I mean, I started working right away, I guess, but I just felt very isolated at that time. So,
yeah.
And just the way people did things was very different to what I was used to. It was a huge adjustment.
So then when you moved to Edmonton and you started working here,
I went into retail, which is something else that I did when I was younger in Melbourne, because I really was into fashion. So I had a lot of retail experience. So I went and got a job at Aritzia. And that was my first, like, hey, this is me. I'm doing something that's me. And that was great for a while.
Yeah.
And then I got a job at View Weekly, the newspaper, but not writing, unfortunately. Well, I left there, and then the plan was I was going to focus on my freelance writing. I was going to sell, because I had done some writing for people. And I was really enjoying that. But most of it was, you know, we can't pay you. It's all free, or I can only pay you, like, a small amount.
Yep.
So, My aim for a while was to try and make that happen, but Edmonton doesn't have a lot of publications. I did that for a little while, and then I went to work for the company that I work for now. I just find that, like, the service industry, I have a lot of in common with the people that work in that industry. Like, I have a very similar sense of humor, and, like, it's a certain kind of person that can work in that industry, I think, and it's a camaraderie that you don't really get in any other industry, I find.
Yeah. So I've done, sort of found a sense of community.
Totally. Now. Yeah. And yeah, I made, yeah. yeah, I made really good friends there, you know, like my third shift at district, I went and had drinks with people and I hadn't done that at any other job that I'd worked here at in Edmonton. And I just, it was such a breath of fresh air. Like people were actually friends. Like I really wanted to make my own friends.
Yeah.
You know, Graham had introduced me to a lot of really cool people, but I was like, I kind of need to meet some of my own people.
Yeah.
And to be able to be like, I'm going to see my friends. Yeah. I didn't have that yet.
Have you noticed things in like the, I guess, culinary scene between Melbourne and Edmonton that are like stark differences or things that Edmonton could benefit from that you do in Australia now?
Well, there's lots of big differences. The thing that probably sticks out the most to me is the layout of the cities are totally different.
Mm.
So if you compare Melbourne and Edmonton, Edmonton's very spread out. You have a small amount of people living in quite a large space.
Yeah.
As a city, I find Edmonton to be, like anybody who lives here knows, it's not very walkable for the most part, you know. I mean, you guys can walk around this area, but if you wanted to move to a different part, if you wanted to walk to a different part of the city, it's going to take you about an hour.
Yeah.
Like, so everything's very spread out. All of the restaurants and cafes, for the most part, are quite big. That, on its own, is super different to Melbourne in that Melbourne's very condensed. It's a city of 3 or 4 million people.
Right.
Yeah, so it's about three times the size, maybe more, of Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a much smaller area. Like, Melbourne's like a big city, but the main, like, downtown area, I guess, is quite condensed, and everything, all of your cafes, bars, and restaurants are quite, oftentimes they'll be very narrow.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be like a small little storefront, and then you'll walk down, and it's like a very narrow, you know, restaurant, and then there's like a lot of like communal tables that people share, or you're sitting very close to other people, whereas here everything's very spread out. Everyone's still very much in their own little area.
Yeah.
So it's not very conducive to like a food community, if that makes sense.
Mm, like meeting other people and talking about the experience in the restaurant and
exactly.
That sort of
thing. And I mean, look, that probably doesn't happen everywhere in Melbourne either. Like you know, you'll sit close to someone, but you won't talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a different atmosphere, I guess, is what I'll say. You can stumble upon these really weird, cool places. You're like, oh my god, this is a bar here. It looks like it's like hidden behind a, you know, dumpster or whatever. And you walk up and it ends up being this cool place. Here, you have to know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, for that cool place. It can be just as obscure, but you need to know where it is and you need to drive there.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get parking and you need to, you know. So,
do some research.
Yeah, exactly.
It's,
yeah. And you need to, so when I first moved here, I would wander around and be like, there's nothing here. Like, where is the places? The places that you see all the time, like Tim Hortons and Starbucks and, you know, Earl's with the big signs and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Pizza 73 and stuff. But so the places that you see all the time are the places that can afford these big storefronts, these big billboards, these big signs.
Yeah.
And the cool places that are, like, locally owned, you just need to hear about them. You need to read about them. You need to sort of, like, be plugged in a little bit.
Yeah.
So for a while, it took me a while to realize that. And now that I know, it's fine. You always have somewhere to go. Or you always know about this new place opening. And there's, like, every week there's this place is open now. Like, it's growing exponentially. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Right now. It's super exciting, yeah. And it's really cool to live in a city where it's kind of, like, growing.
Yeah.
Like that. And they're really trying to, like, reach for something new.
After speaking a bit about Edmonton, Amy and I started talking about the creative process and different projects we have on the go. Amy just recently took up photography.
I really, it's the first thing I've done in a long time that I've been really enjoying. Like, I still enjoy writing, but writing's very, it kind of makes me nervous a little bit. Like, you know, when you're starting a story, you're like, oh, where am I going to start with this? And it's very time consuming and I seem to take it way more seriously, but with photography, it's more of a hobby thing. And I really have never been one to have a lot of hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's very therapeutic, actually. It's fun. Just wander around, take photos of things. People look at you funny sometimes. Like, you're just on your own, just taking photos of, like, of a tree branch. And you're like, what are you doing?
I kind of feel that way about painting too. I find with writing and kind of like this stuff too, like I like having conversations that, with my writing, I'm guarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same. Cause I'm like, I have to, like, I don't care if I take a photo that's not good,
mm-hmm.
but I care if I write something that's not good. And I don't know. I just find writing is more of a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's way harder on you mentally, I find. Like, you're just constantly trying to churn through, like, hey, what word can I replace with that? And how am I going to segue this, you know, quote into this next thing that I want to say? Or mm-hmm. where am I even going to start this article? Like, how am I going to start it?
Yeah.
Like, what's my nut graph going to be? Like, how am I going to, like, get people into it? How's it going to sound good? And
yeah.
When you go to around, like, 1,500 to 2,000 words, you're like, where do I even start with this?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just think writing, there's more pressure, even if you don't think not many people are going to read it. I just seem to take it more seriously, but having said that, like, I don't do photography professionally, so, and if I did, that would be way more pressure.
Yeah, it's probably good to have a balance of creative outlets, and then one yeah. that's more freer, like photography for you, and then mm-hmm. one that's more disciplined, like writing. And
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a struggle, though.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. Oh, creative life.
Yeah.
Thanks to Amy for being one of my very first interviews for Migration Patterns. Melbourne sounds hella cool, and I hope one day I'll have her as my tour guide when I finally get over to that wild place called Australia. Thanks for tuning in. This is the first season of Migration Patterns, so I need your help to spread the word to other podcast-loving friends. Please subscribe or give it a rating so I know if I should do a second season or not. You can't see me, but I'm winking awkwardly. See you next time. Bye.